Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
I'm Pastor Fred Gellenwater here, Russell Road Church. Thank you for tuning in. We have been talking about understanding the Trinity, and it's very foundational in our faith. And there's a lot of things out there trying to take us somewhere else. We're after it, right? We're going to stay on it. We're after it. We're going to believe what the Bible's telling us. Amen? So God is good, right? Jesus is Lord, right? Jesus is God. Right? We've been looking at that because there's a sign out here on 29 that says God is not three in one. And it says you're committing idolatry if you believe that he is. Well, we believe and we know that he's three in one. Right? We know that. So that sign out there is of the Antichrist. It's not Christ-centered. It's a whole nother. It's not the gospel. So we've been looking at that, and there's a sign also on 47. Big sign, somebody's investing money. And other states, these signs are, people are sending me, because they're hearing my message, they're sending me pictures of these signs in other states. So we know who it is, right? So and it's confusing people. I've had people say, well, how can God be through? Well, that can only be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And that's why you got to be saved to really understand it. So that's the good news of the gospel, right? All right. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I want to share a couple things here. It talks about the Trinity, the word Trinity. You won't find the word Trinity in the Bible. It's it was coined by a gentleman by the last name of Tertullian, and he was a Christian writer in 170 AD. Okay? And he came up with the word for the word Trinity, Trentas, T-R-I-N-T-A-S. It means tripleness. Tripleness. But then he brought in the word Trinity. T-R-I-N-I-T-Y. Tri means three. N-I-T-Y is unity. So three in unity. They all work together in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three different personalities working together to redeem mankind. And the story that I'm going to share today is a good depiction of it. And we're going to look at an Old Testament story, and we're going to talk about King David, and we're going to look at some things from him. And he was in the height of his rulership, and he was in Hebron, in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, and the Hebron, and then after he was king, he immediately captured Jerusalem and made it the capital of Israel. David, King David, made it the capital of Israel. Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Now, here's the good news. That was 1,000 years B.C., before Christ. And guess what? It's still the capital of Israel today. Don't you like your Bible? That's the truth. That's the way it is. It's still the capital. And remember we went over Micah chapter 5, verse 2? And it says he's talking about the ruler that came to rule in Israel. And that's talking about Jesus. It's a prophecy of Jesus. And it says he came from everlasting eternity. So in other words, he came eternity. That means there's no beginning and there's no end. Did you catch that? Jesus said, I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Did you catch that? So that means Jesus is God. Did you catch that? So that's what I'm trying to help us see. We're going to really see how God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are working together. So David was ruling in his kingship. And then David brought the Ark of God into Jerusalem in chapter 7 of 2 Samuel. And God makes an unconditional covenant with David. And that this dynasty, this lineage, would rule forever, referring to the Messiah, meaning Jesus. You can read this in chapter 7 of 2 Samuel. That would come from the lineage of David. All right? And that's what we're talking about. Jesus is in the lineage of David. Talks about it in Matthew chapter 1. Now, in chapter 8 of 2 Samuel, David gains victory over all his enemies. And in chapter 9, all is well in the city of God. And that's where we're going to start today. All right? So if you would, give me 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. That's where we're going to get started. We're going to stand up after we, you know what? First, I want to read the vision, and then we'll use that verse. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity, the spirit, in the bond of peace. Now let's read this verse together. Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may know him, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? So David is in his height. He's now the king, ruler. So now he says, who is left in the house of Saul? So the house of Saul represents man's kingdom in this story. Man's kingdom. In other words, when you try to do stuff on your own strength, you're not going to accomplish the will of God doing things your own way. Make sense? In other words, if you feel wore out and defeated and depleted all the time, that's because you're trying to do things in your own strength. You're not trusting God and his mercy and his grace to assist you and help you in life. Am I making any sense? So the idea is, remember, in Proverbs 19:21, it says there's many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, it's the Lord's counsel, the Lord's purpose that will prevail, that will stand. You see that? It's God's purpose that will stand. The word stand means prevail. Now get a hold of this. God doesn't exist to fulfill my plans. Did you catch me? Did you catch what I just said? God does not exist to fulfill my plans. I exist to fulfill his plans. So here's the idea. He says, it's the Lord's purpose that will stand, prevail. So in other words, if you're wore out and depleted and discouraged, you're fighting against his plan. He's trying to show his plan to you. You seeing this? When you surrender your will and get up under his will and start seeking him, you're going to start experiencing the rest of the Lord. Because you can get a good night's sleep. You can sleep 12 hours and wake up and feel depleted, full of anxiety. Am I making sense? Like you didn't even get any rest. Still tired. But when if you're going to get rest for your soul, you got to get that from Jesus and in God's plan. When you do His will, it brings rest to your soul. Oh, I'm preaching good already. Am I making sense? So that's what God's trying to do. He's trying to get us to develop our relationship with Him and our dependency on Him. So we're going to look at this because this story in 2 Samuel is really a depiction of you and me and God and the Son and the Holy Spirit working. Amen? So let's take a look here. Remember, God exists for you to fulfill His plan. See, if it was the other way around, if God existed to fulfill my plan, then that would be God would be like a genie, wouldn't He? Or something you rub on, you know what I mean? Make a wish and that's not the way God works. So God has a plan. And when we begin to yield to the Holy Spirit and His will and His word, things start to come together. All right? Now, let's look at this. Now, in this story, David represents God. Okay? When you see David, it represents God. Remember, even in the New Testament, Jesus quoted David all the time. And so, this is a powerful story. Now, watch this. So, in this story, David is God. All right. And David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul?" Now, why is David saying that? Here's why. Because the house of Saul represents man's kingdom. And David was in his rule, in his highest place of ruling at that time. And think about this. The prior king, Saul was the prior king. What they would do, and this was accepted, they would kill the family of the prior king. All the family. They would kill them off. See this? So they wouldn't threaten the throne of the king who's ruling at the time. So they would kill off all the family. So there wouldn't be any heirs to inherit that, what the king was trying to rule over before. We making sense? So it was judgment would be on anyone who was left of the house of Saul. Get a hold of this. "That I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. Is there anyone left in the house of Saul, man's kingdom, that's under judgment, that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Jonathan represents Jesus in this story. So he's saying, for Jesus' sake, is there anyone that I may show kindness to? You catching that? Now get a hold of this word kindness. This word kindness is powerful. It's a Hebrew word because we're in the Old Testament. And it's the word hesed. You got to say it like that. You know what? If you say it like that, it'll help you remember it. H-E-S-E-D. Hesed. That's the way the Hebrew people say it. That's the way the Jewish people say it. They don't just say hesed. They say hesed. I'm telling you the truth. Now watch. This is what it means. It means mercy. It means grace. Remember? Mercy is, I'm not giving you what you deserve. Grace is, I'm giving you something you don't deserve. You see that? That's what grace is. Mercy is, I'm not giving you what you deserve. Grace is, I'm giving you something you do not deserve. Unmerited favor, right? And that's what God is full of, mercy and grace. And the more we understand that, the more we're going to live in a different way. When you understand this story, it's going to help you in how you treat people and really how you see yourself. It's going to help you, I promise. Now, ask the question, is there still anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show hesed, this kindness, for Jonathan, for Jesus' sake? Now, this hesed is a love. It's the unconditional love of God. And it means it can never be earned, it can never be deserved, and it can never be repaid. Did you hear that? It can never be earned, it can never be deserved, and it can never be repaid. That's this hesed, this mercy and grace and this love of God. Now, so he says, is there anyone left in Saul's house that I can show this to for Jonathan's sake? He doesn't say, is there anyone worthy in this house or anyone that we should acknowledge, because we should acknowledge because of what he has done. He says, is there anyone who exists that I can show him this kindness for Jonathan's sake? What's really important and remarkable is that we understand, listen, is when this was taking place in history, there was an accepted and expected procedure of a new king. Remember, I just told you, you would kill off all the family of the prior king, and that would destroy that dynasty. Now, so David was rightly replacing Saul. So Saul had a son, and his name was Jonathan. And Jonathan had a son. You paying attention? Jonathan had a son, and his name was Mephibosheth. Huh? Spell that one? I will. How many of you heard Mephibosheth? Two people? Three people? I preached on this years ago. Now, get a hold of this. This is huge. His name, Mephibosheth, means scattered shame. It means breath of shame. It means shameful. Shameful. So Mephibosheth was scattering shame. He was full of shame. Are you paying attention? And guess who Mephibosheth is in this story? You and me. We were all full of shame, unable to redeem ourselves, unable to save ourselves, unable to reach God on our own. Am I making sense? So Mephibosheth is full of shame. You know, I've shared the story about my mom. I was ashamed of my own mother when I was in school because she was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. And she took this medicine and she would walk around the neighborhood shaking and always, you know, in this different state of mind. People would drive by and throw things at her, call her crazy lady. And it made me ashamed of my own mother. Isn't that something? And so I allowed the world to make me ashamed of what really was supposed to be valuable to me. But some of that you'll understand as we look at this. Now look at this. So when Saul and Jonathan and Saul's other two sons were killed in the battle, then the heir to Saul's dynasty would fall on Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, say Mephibosheth. So he was the one who rightly deserved judgment. Did you catch that? Mephibosheth deserved judgment, death, execution. You see that? And that's what we deserved. Did you hear me? Death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, we all deserve death, separation from God forever. But because of Jesus, it all changed. Now watch this. This is huge. The new king, because of the new family that he belonged to, Mephibosheth, was a picture of you and me. In chapter 4, now pay attention. You can look this up later in chapter 4 of 2 Samuel. You can look this up. Mephibosheth had a nurse, and they called it a nanny or a nurse. And this nurse was assigned to take care of Mephibosheth because his family wasn't there to take care of him. So she was assigned to take care of him. So she knew, this nurse knew, that you can find this all in chapter 4, 2 Samuel. She knew that they were going to come after Mephibosheth and kill him because he was the last one left in Saul's house that would try to carry on the dynasty and continue in the throne of rulership. Making sense? Making sense, guys? I want you to follow this story. Now watch. So, let's look at this. So what happened was, the nurse in her, you know, flee to protect Mephibosheth, she fell, she was running, and she fell, and she dropped Mephibosheth, and he became lame. Both his feet were crippled, and he stayed crippled, and he couldn't walk, okay? So now, she dropped him, and from his injuries, no fault of his own, he became lame. A lot of us, the person who was assigned to care for us and protect us and teach us, dropped us when it comes to raising us in God's ways. Not in any fault of our own. It's just the way it was. Maybe they abandoned you. Maybe you didn't have a mother. Maybe you didn't have a father. That leaves people crippled in areas of their life. Broken. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So that's lame. Spiritually lame. Listen. Because he was a member of Saul's kingdom, man's kingdom, Saul ruled man's ways. He was Israel's first king and ruled with his own direction. And that's why Mephibosheth was in the shape he was in. Listen, Mephibosheth is one of us. He's been dropped, he's been crippled, and he's broken. But God had a plan in place. Many are the plans in man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose, the Lord's plan that will prevail and stand. That makes me want to preach. Mephibosheth was born, his father, Jonathan, a type and picture of Jesus Christ, made a covenant with King David. Those two made a covenant, David and Jonathan. So that would be God and Jesus made a covenant. Oh, covenant is magnanimous. It's huge. When you understand covenant and commitment, you begin to understand some things about God. But if you're never committed to anything and you're never, you'll always be fighting against a God that you'll never win. You'll never win. His plan will never come to fruition in your life. Come on. Am I making sense? I don't care where you are. He's coming for you. I don't care if you're on death row. He'll show up there and take you in and show you his kindness. Are you catching that? And that's what you need before you take your last breath. You don't get that. Amen? You're going to end up somewhere you don't want to be. Now watch. This is huge. This isn't because God is nice. See, some people think he's some big grandpa up there and everything's going to be okay. And, you know, well, God will never do that. See, God is kind. He's not nice. Nowhere in the Bible says God is nice. I'm going to tell you what, the devil's nice. There's a lot of nice. Well, they're so nice. Well, okay. Let's just, yeah, they'll be nice. There's a lot of people that are nice. Oh, they're nice, but they're up to something. You know, you don't need a lot of friends. But you know what? You need people in the body of Christ. It says in 1 Peter 1:21, purify your souls in obeying the truth through sincere love of the brethren. Ooh! Your soul gets purified as you love everybody here, including me. You got to love me. So this is how it gets developed. See this? But if you don't ever develop it, you can't give it out there. You can't show the world that your God is credible. That's why the church is where this is all taking place. His plan unfolds in the church, in your life. All right, now, hold still. So, it was a covenant that he made between him, Jonathan, and David. Now watch this. Jonathan had made a covenant a long, long time ago. You can find that in 1 Samuel 20, verse 13. A covenant, verse 13 and 14. A covenant that the house of David would show kindness and mercy and grace to the house of Saul. Now watch. To anyone who belonged to the house of Jonathan. Now watch this. The house of David would show mercy and grace and kindness. Verse 2. And there was a servant of the house of Saul. Remember? The house of Saul is man's kingdom. Whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, at your service. Then the king, meaning God, David, said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. Now, think about this. He wasn't lame in his feet because of anything he had done. Here's the point. It's not about you. You're not a believer because of anything you've done. And because you're good or you're nice. You're a believer because God had a plan. And God had a covenant with Jesus to rescue you.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.